بسم الله بسم الله، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It is a true blessing to be here with all of you. In all honesty, your weather is beautiful. You guys are much better, mashallah, tabarakallah. Amazing akhlaq. And it's just amazing to be here with all of you. May Allah Azza bless all of you, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. So, you know, mashallah, you guys have Sheikh Zuhair here, so you didn't need me, but this is just formality. And then you have Dr. Nazir, mashallah, tabarakallah, who eclipses everybody. Now, so I'm not going to take too much of your time. It'll be short and hopefully of some benefit. So I'm not going to do anything heavy since you have atheism coming up, which is a solid bit to grapple with. I want to talk about dramas. You heard me. Dramas. Stories. Dramas. We all like a good drama, don't we? Well, except for family drama. That's the type we don't like, right? But Urturul, Turkish dramas, apparently a lot of people like them. Dramas, right? They're different types of stories. At the end of the day, we all love a good story. Now, I want you all to imagine with me, picture, that you have been admitted and given a ticket, an opportunity to act a drama. Not only are you been given this phenomenal opportunity to perform a drama, but you have been told to author it, to pen it, the story itself. And in front of you are the most important people in the world. The kings, the presidents, the prime ministers. I know you guys, mashallah, have your own prime minister here as well. But apparently, he's less important than the cricket team captain, from what I've heard. So the cricket team tactics. Captain is there as well, right? For Australia. And everybody else who's important in the world and all of their dignitaries, they're all sitting there. And you've been told, act an author. And if they judge you to be of good merit, they're going to give you an entire kingdom. They're going to be all of your friends. You're going to become basically the elite. You will become a ruler of the world. But you have no opportunity to prepare except while you're acting. The only time you have an opportunity is in between each act. So you guys know how dramas work, right? You have an act, or let's call it an episode, and then you stop, and then you have the next one, and then you have the next one. The only time you really get to prepare is in the breaks between the acts. My question then to myself and all of you is, how important would these durations in between be for you to figure out your story, to ask yourself, where am I going with this story? How does the last episode add up with the next one? In the grander scheme of things, where am I going with this? It can't just be random actions I did, right? There needs to be some deeper purpose and meaning in what I just did and how I'm going to connect it to the next episode, right? Right? So how important would that period be then, where you're writing this story and thinking about what you did and what you're going to do? Could we say that would possibly be one of the most important periods throughout that whole competition to be able to win? Yes or no? Yes. So this is, as I'm sure you've all figured out, is a parable of life. It's an example, it's a parable for life itself. Where you come into this world and you're given an entry ticket. And then you're told to perform, to act. And not only act, you're told you're authoring this story. It's your story. It's not random actions. And in front of you, the ones who are witnessing this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. The angels, kiram and katibin, the noble angels who write your actions. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who gave us the sharia, the one via who we inherited the sharia, we are part of his ummah. And then all of the believers, the past, the present, and the ones to come. And all of this is summarized in the ayah, وَقُلْ اعْمَلُوا, and say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, act, فَسَيَرَى اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ. For verily, Allah will see your actions. وَرَسُولُهُ, and His messenger, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and the believers. فَسَتُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ And you will return to the world of witnessing. Of witnessing, witnessing what you've done. And you will be seeing your actions. You will be seeing your reward for what you did. You'll know if you managed to get that kingdom and you made everybody your friend or not. Yeah. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ He says to the believers, you are the witnesses of God on earth. فَإِذَا أَثْنَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ خَيْرًا وَجَبَتْ لَهُ وَإِذَا أَثْنَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ شَرًّا وَجَبَتْ لَهُ That if you speak praise of highly of somebody, then Allah Azza will take that to be good praise. And if you speak badly about somebody, then the same. And so in these acts, right, life is going on. You're trying to find purpose and meaning. You're trying to make this story add up and end with a good note, right? You're trying to figure out who you are in this world, right? Because you're the hero of your own story. And then you have others around you, right? You have other side characters. You have aid characters. You have help characters. But they're the heroes of their stories, and you're part of their lives. And it's on the go that this is happening. These breaks between the acts that I was speaking of are what we understand to be muhasabat al-nafs, times of self-reflection, self-reckoning. To ask yourself, hey man, is what I'm doing in life make sense? What did I do today? Where is their meaning? And so these breaks, the ulama, they mentioned that there are of different types, of different times, right? One of the most important times is at the end of the day. When you finish your day, it's really important that instead of getting on your phone and zombie scrolling, right, on TikTok and so on, leave your phone outside of the room. Settle down in your bed. And at that time, ask yourself, how did my day go? What did I do? Start with your obligations, your wajibat. Did I fulfill them? Did I pray my 5 daily prayers? Did I fulfill my obligations for the hereafter and my obligations of the dunya? Was I good with family, parents, work? And see, if I did not fulfill something, let me fulfill it. And again, this doesn't need to be something that's wajib. It can be something that's on top of that. Nawafil, sunan. Did I leave my sunnah prayer? Let me go pray al-qada very quickly. Did I read any Quran today? If I didn't, let me get up again, read some Quran, and go back to sleep. Don't let a day go by unless you've actually reckoned with yourself. Then muhasaba, you've done self-accountability, and then done something about that, right? So don't just let it be, oh, I had a couple of thoughts, man, today was pretty bad. But you know what? Tomorrow will be a better day. No, don't do that. Figure out how you're going to make this ending positive to start your second act, your second episode even better. So that's in terms of obligations. Then you have muharramat. That which is prohibited and what you did from that which is haram. Did my eyes see something that is haram? Did my ears hear something that is haram? Did my tongue say something that is haram? How do I purify it? How do I cleanse it? By tawbah and by following it up with good. And more important than the physical limbs is the most important limb, which is the heart. Was my heart filled with jealousy? Ujbun nafs, self-amusement, self-aggrandization. Did I feel like I was being really good to other people today? Did I feel self-righteous? Did I feel a lot of anger and jealousy for others for no reason? What's the state of my heart? And so this is the second portion, which is that which you did, which is from haram. So count your haram, just like how you counted what you did. Count the harams you did. And ask Allah Azza for forgiveness before you sleep. This is why the du'as of going to sleep, why are there so many different ones from the sunnah? It's because you're trying to يعني when you go to sleep, it's a minor death. توفى الأنفس حين موتها. That Allah Azza wa Jalla takes the life at the time of the death. Over here, the ulama, they mentioned that the death here is sleep. So you basically die and you're given life again. And so before that, that's why there's so many beautiful du'as of going to sleep. Allahumma inni aslamtu nafsi ilayk. Oh Allah, I submit myself to you. Wa wajjahtu wajhi ilayk. And I turn myself, everything I am myself, I turn it towards you. Wa fawwadtu amri ilayk. And I give over all of my affairs towards you, ya Allah, because I do not control. La manja wa la malja minka illa ilayk. I can't turn away from you and find help out from against you, neither, and the only way I'm going to find any help is only when I turn back to you. There's no escaping you, there's only towards you. You are the one, the only, the one. Right? And then you ask for tawbah. You ask for istighfar. Ya Allah, if you take my life, take it upon iman. If you give me life again, give me life upon Islam. Right? Again, this is the most critical time for muhasabat nafs, which is at the time of sleep. The last portion, so the first is wajibat, the second is muharramat, and the third portion, which is, you know, it's very big in the self-help industry, which is gratitude, right? Taking, meditating on gratitude, doing shukr, shukr al-ni'am. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Then if you do shukr, I will increase you in goodness. Gratitude for every single good that Allah has given you. Because when تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تَحْصُوهَا. If you were to try to enumerate, count the blessings of God, you would never be able to. Neither their value nor their numbers. And so start to count your blessings. Count them in terms of value. What would life look like if I didn't have a tongue? What would life look like if I didn't have a single eye? If I didn't have one of my parents? What would life be if I didn't have Islam and I was lost? If my story had no purpose? If I didn't know what it meant to be a hero and what it meant to be a villain? If I didn't know how I wanted my story to end in life? And so that's the primary time, which is before sleep. Then there's other times that are mentioned, such as فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. That when you finish an action, فَانْصَبْ, do nasb. Over here, the ulama, they mentioned nasb here is ponder, reflect over your actions. This is why when you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, what do you say? استغفر الله وتوب إليه. استغفر الله وتوب إليه. Ya Allah, I ask repentance in you, from you for what I just did, for the lack in it, for everything that's in it. So when you finish, it's a time of muhasabah. Right? You know, many of the ulama, they mentioned that it's at that time you ask yourself, if the most I could give was a lacking prayer, then that in and of itself was a crime. Right? So what about all my sins? This is why Ibn Mas'ud, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that, you know, picture your sins like a mountain that is about to collapse on your shoulders. And then turn to Allah in tawbah and istighfar. Right? And so this is the basic concept of reckoning, which is to wreck with yourself. Right? To look within, break it down, be honest, be genuine, and grow from there. And no, not every episode is amazing. Not every act is awesome. Not every episode is amazing. Oh my God, you did perfect. No, some days, some episodes are not the best. But you know what? It's the story that counts. It's how you develop as a character. And how you want to see yourself. And your struggle towards that. And that is what muhasabat al-nafs is. And it is one of the greatest acts of worship. And is essential to what it means to be human, to being properly human and being properly Muslim. Because a proper human is a proper Muslim. We'll stop there, inshallah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Takbir! Allahu khayran to our Shaykh Nu'man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. A beautiful, beautiful analogy about life and muhasabah in regards to story. It was very inspiring that I decided to change my topic midway and to continue on this beautiful stream of thought that he has started us on about the concept of story. So my portion was meant to describe the concept of ayat, signs, because we live in a world of signs, which means that everything in this world carries some sort of meaning. What does a sign do in life? A sign points you towards something. A sign contains meaning. And this is a world of meaning. And the world is buzzing with meaning for us to interpret, to receive, to contemplate, to reflect. The ulama actually classify the ayat or the signs into different categories. Does anyone know one category of ayat of Allah? Very good. One category of ayat is kauni, ayat kauniya, or ayat al-mashhuda. The ayat are the signs that we see all around us. Everything that exists are signs of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتِ لِيُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. In the creation of the heavens and the earth and in the alternation of the night and the day, space and time, all of it are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does anyone know a second category of signs? Sorry? Shari'i? Yes, so what is that? Come on. When someone says ayah, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? It's not a trick question, guys. Quran, very good. One category of the signs of Allah are the ayat Qur'aniya or ayat masmu'a. Very good. The listened ayah. And of course, the signs in the book are in the Quran. And we recite and we learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there's actually a third category. Some of the ulama make a third category from the ayat kauniya, and they make this a third category. Does anyone know what it is? It's connected to what our sheikh was speaking about. It's actually the ayat maqdura. The ayat maqdura. The signs in your qadr. The signs in your story. The signs in your story. So there are signs of Allah all around us. You look outside, you see today was, mashallah, tabarakallah, those who are coming in. Beautiful sunset, wasn't it, huh? It was red and orange, these beautiful bright colors. Even a kafir would look at that and say, wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And so the signs of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are everywhere. Are everywhere. The effects of the athar of the rahmah of Allah are everywhere. We see it in the rain. We see it in the clouds. We see it in the sun. All these things that bring to us things we cannot articulate, feelings inside of us we can't articulate. That is a moment of witnessing. That is a moment of witnessing, meaning, and witnessing a sign of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sign of Allah's power, sign of Allah's beauty, sign of Allah's mercy, sign of Allah's power, sign of Allah's love, whatever it may be. Sign of Allah's grandeur and might when you look at the mountains. So these are signs of Allah. Now, what about the signs in your own life? The signs in your life, and that was what the Shaykh was telling us, that your own life is comprised of a series of events that could only be strung together by Ar-Rahman. Because the definition of a story are a series of events that are meaningfully connected to each other. And so the author writes the story and connects all these different events together, and there's an overarching plot or a theme or some sort of idea, and there's a cohesion there. There's a beginning, middle, and end. Your life is a story, but who was the author of your life? Who wrote your life down? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Lawh Mahfuz. Before he created anything in this world, 50,000 years before, he actually wrote your story down, your biography. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who decreed and decided all of the things that would come in different moments in your particular life. So there's so much to say in terms of trying to link everything here together, even the concept of dua. Because you see, when you look at Hisnul Muslim, which is the very famous book of du'as that we're meant to say. You notice that there's a du'a for almost every occasion in life. If you look at your one day as like a mini story in your meta story in your life, every day is its own story or episode, as the Shaykh was saying. If you look at Hisnul Muslim, there is a du'a for almost everything that happens to you in your life. When you wake up, what do you say? Does anyone know? Praise and thanks be to the one who awakened me or brought me back to life after I had passed away, as the Shaykh was saying. And to him is the resurrection. You see, this dua is said in response to you witnessing an event that happened in your life. So you are seeing the sign of Allah in front of you in that day. What was the sign of Allah? That sign of Allah is waking up. You waking up. That is a sign of Allah. As the Shaykh was mentioning from the ayah in Surah Zumar, that he is the one that brings the souls. وَالَّتِي لَمْ يَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا. And those who haven't died yet in their sleep. And so you are witnessing a sign of Allah when you wake up. And the dua tells you what the meaning of that sign is. The dua tells you what the meaning of that sign is. And those are the points of the duas, that you are meant to reflect on your life and all the things that are happening, even in the mundanities, even just going to the toilet. Then you think about when you leave the toilet, you say, Ghufranak, oh Allah, forgive me. The ulama say, because just as you've excreted the impurity from your body, then that's a sign. That's a sign of your own sins inside. And so you ask Allah for forgiveness so that you excrete your sins as well. So everything in life is a sign. Everything in life is a sign. Now, there's a very interesting theory or concept that all stories fundamentally follow one basic plot. Now, if you actually look at this plot, you can analogize it to the story of faith, to the meta story of faith that everyone would have gone through. So what are the meta plot, you can say? There are basically four stages in the meta plot. The first stage is the anticipation stage. The second stage is the dream stage. The third stage is the confrontation stage. The fourth stage is the final ordeal or the nightmare stage. And the last stage is the resolution. So actually five stages. So let's go through this inshallah ta'ala, and we'll actually go through an ayah of the Quran that brings through all of these different stages. The ayah is the end of Surah Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and quotes the dua of a person who has awakened their fitrah, who has awakened on this journey towards Allah Azza wa Jal. And he says, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. Our Lord, we have heard the caller who calls to faith. Now this is the anticipation stage, the first stage in every story, anticipation stage. What is it? It's when the hero is called to the adventure to come. The hero is called for the adventure to come. This event, as it's defined, summons or provides the call. That's literally the word that they use, the call, which will lead the hero or heroine out of their initial state into a series of adventures or experiences, which to a greater or lesser extent will transform their lives. So the first stage is anticipation, the call. There's something that a person is awakened to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, we have heard the caller of faith. We have heard the caller of faith. And in fact, your story started with a call, didn't it? When you were first born, a parent, a loved one, whispered the call into your ear, the call of faith. And as you grew, you naturally developed and recognized this call. The call to faith is the call to the adventure of your life, the adventure of faith, the adventure of iman. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسَ أَن يُتُرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people really think they'll be left to just say, we believe, and they won't be tested? You see, the tests and trials of life, that is the adventure of your life. When you decide to take the call, your adventure begins, but you will confront the tests and the trials in front of you. We move on to the dream stage, number two. The adventure begins, and the hero has some success and an illusion of invincibility. Basically, as the story goes, the hero is feeling like, wow, this is amazing. I've taken this call. And by the way, we're talking on a meta level. This can be on a micro level too. You could be called to a job. You could be called to a da'wah mission. You could be called to a project. Something could be calling you of some khair or some goodness, and you accept it. And say the first stage, they say, is the dream stage. And Allah says, يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ فَآمَنَّا. So we believed. The third stage, the confrontation stage. The hero has his first confrontation with the enemy, and this illusion of invincibility and easy life is lost. You might have thought, I've accepted Islam, I've gone back on deen, I've started to pray again, my life is going to be set. And in the first week, you tell everyone, the blessings of Allah, bro. The blessings that have come. I started praying and all these good things started happening. That's this invincibility stage. You think, oh, this is amazing, this is it. And this is going to be the rest of my life. Smooth sailing for the rest of my life. Then, confrontation, frustration stage. Where they confront their weaknesses. They confront difficulty. They confront adversity. And what does Allah say? رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. Our Lord, forgive us of our sins. That you thought the path would be easy, but inevitably you will fall short. We will fail. We will fall. And so we have to turn to Allah to ask Him for forgiveness. The fourth stage, the final ordeal, or the nightmare stage. The frustration is worsened. This is the climax where all hope is apparently lost. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. That even the messenger of Allah and those who believed, they will ask, when is the help of Allah coming? This is this stage where you're in this pit of, you're right at the edge of despair. And that's when the help of Allah comes. And that is the fifth, or the resolution. فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ. And Allah responds to them. Allah responds to the du'as. See the du'as. كَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتُوَفَّنَا مَا الْأَبْرَارِ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مَا وَعَدْتَنَا عَلَى رُسُولِكَ وَلَا تُخْزِنَا يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Oh Allah, give us what you've promised. You promised to be with those who believe. You promised to be with those who persevere. You promised to be with the faithful. Ya Allah, my faith is at its wit's end. Ya Allah, I don't know how more I can give of myself. Ya Allah, I don't know if I'm going to give up. مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. That is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah laughs at the qunut, or the despair of His servant, when the help is right there. That's the moment when you can turn to Allah in that moment. That's the moment where Allah laughs. And I've mentioned this before. I always wondered about this hadith. Obviously, we understand the hadith. But you know, this is not something in our reality we would think someone is, you know, really begging for help and they're in despair and the help is close, fair enough. But there is so much sadness and grief. And then why would a person laugh? And subhanAllah, and we'll end with this. I once saw, I was in the Queensland Children's Hospital. It was known as Lady Salento at the time. And there was a little kid, 2 years old. And he was just running ahead of his mother. And this kid ran, and then turned the corner, and then they were by themselves. Then all you hear is this shriek and this cry. Intense distress. Why? That kid thinks, I've lost my mother. I've lost my source of food. I've lost my comfort. I've lost my security. I've lost the whole world. That's what the baby thinks. And so it cries and it cries as if it's the worst day in their life. And what did the mother do when I looked at the mother? She laughed. Because they think, what? You, not like stupid child, but like, you know, come on. You think I'm just going to leave you like that? I'm there. I'm right here. I've got you taken care of. You think you're just going to be able to escape from me that quickly? As Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says in Bida' al-Fawa'id, us to Allah, we never leave that same relationship as it is for the baby to the mother. That dependency, that vulnerability. Allah will never forsake us. Allah will never just leave us. Our risk is guaranteed. Our trials are decreed. Allah will never let a believer down. That is His promise. And we are the children, the babies, who have very little knowledge of anything. And we think it's the worst thing ever. But Allah will be there for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Jazakumullah khairan. And jazakumullah khairan to the Shaykh as well for putting us on this amazing tangent, alhamdulillah. And so the last stage is, of course, the resolution. And so then the transformation occurs. The person finds that faith. They find that strength to put forward. And their life changes. And that faith pushes them forward. That faith pushes them forward. And of course, the faith takes them on this journey until it takes them back to the beginning. A faith circle. Back to the beginning. Everyone's like, oh, so lame. Cringe. But that's what it is. It's the circle of life. In any case, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Jazakumullah khairan. We have with us our dear Shaykh as well. Third, alhamdulillah, keynote speaker that's going to be addressing us, inshallah ta'ala. So if Sheikh Nazir can, inshallah ta'ala, make his way through.